I'm actually going to be speaking from Jonah tonight, the typical kids' Bible story. I'm sure many of you have heard this story before. It's a common one in our household because we have young kids, which I'll show you our family. My hunker spunk of a husband, the hunkiest spunkiest of all of them of 18 years. This is our beautiful family. You know, if I do say so myself. So that we have our son Noah, he's almost 12. Kenzie is 9. And my little, who we call Kalala, Ayla, who is 5. She is like the cuddliest koala bear ever, but she can't say koala. So she's my Kalala. And I love her dearly. But that's my family. So the Jonah story is a common one in our household because we have young kids. And it's such a fascinating story about some big whale that, like, you know, swallows up a man and is kind of this like theatrical story. And sometimes we can skip over reading it kind of like that and we sort of don't relate it to our own lives because, you know, I don't know about you, but I haven't been swallowed up by a whale. Maybe you have, and maybe you read the story and you're like, this is like so relevant to my life, okay? But the truth is that actually the story of Jonah is incredibly relevant to our lives and incredibly relevant to my life in particular. So let's read it. Because one interesting thing as well about Jonah is that he was a prophet in the Old Testament. And most of the prophet books that are writings in the Old Testament is about the prophet's words. But Jonah barely says any words through this book. It's actually a book about his actions. And this is the man of God that should have known what to do and the right thing to do and the right way to do it. But we learn that he didn't. So we can learn a lot from him because I've been there. All right, so Jonah, verse 1. Okay, so the word of the Lord came to Jonah, go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it because its wickedness has come up before me. Verse 3, but Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed for Tarshish. He ran away for what God was telling him to do, which we know. But let's just remind ourselves. He went down to Joppa where he found a ship bound for that port. After paying the fare, he went aboard, sailed for Tarshish to flee from the Lord. Something that none of us have ever done in our lives, right? Never. Verse 4, then the Lord sent a great wind on the sea and such a violent storm arose that the ship threatened to break up. Verse 5, all the sailors were afraid. So there's all these sailors on this boat and each cried out to his own God, to whatever they knew. And they threw cargo into the sea to lighten the ship. But Jonah had gone below deck where he lay down and fell into a deep sleep. Verse 6, the captain went to him and said, how can you sleep? Get up and call on your God. Maybe he will take notice of us so that we will not perish. Verse 7, then the sailors said to each other, come, let us cast lots to find out who is responsible for this calamity. They cast lots and the lot fell on Jonah. Crazy. They are asking their gods and they still somehow find out that Jonah is the reason for their problems, which is an interesting thought. Verse 8, so they asked us, tell us who is responsible for making all this trouble for us. What kind of work do you do? Where do you come from? What is your country? From what people are you? How is this happening? It terrified them and they asked, then he answered them, I am a Hebrew and I worship the Lord, the God of heaven. So he at least he knew to say the right thing in this moment, who made the sea and the dry land. Then this terrified them and they asked, what have you done? All of a sudden they knew, what have you done? And then from that revelation that they got, verse 11, it says the sea was getting rougher and rougher. They then asked him, what should we do? There was a revelation moment for these sailors that whatever this man, because he had caused this storm, tell us what we should do for the sea to calm down for us. And Jonah says, pick me up, throw me into the sea and it will all become calm. I know it's my fault that this great storm has come upon you. What's very interesting in this moment is that he doesn't even do it himself. He like pushes the blame and gets the sailors to do it for him. Where if he was meant to go into the ocean, he could have done that himself. Okay, and he's making them do something that they don't want to do. Because we see in verse 13, instead, the men did their best to row back to land, but when they could not, for the sea grew even wilder than before. Verse 14, then they cried out to the Lord, no longer their gods, They cried out to the Lord, "Please, Lord, do not let us die for taking this man's life. Do not hold us accountable for killing an innocent man, for you, Lord, have done as you pleased." Then they took him, threw him overboard. And then verse 16, "At this the men greatly feared the Lord, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows to him." And then the part of the story that we all know and love and remember, and then the Lord provided a big, huge fish to swallow Jonah, and he was in the belly of the fish for 3 days and three nights. Okay, back to, you know, kids' scripture school, just to remind you of the whole story. And so what the main point, I guess, that I want to make from today is that obedience is always the easier option. Obedience is the easier option. It doesn't seem like it's going to be the easier option, but it is. And the reason I know this is because it's been my experience in my life. I love to share stories of how I have missed the mark, of how I haven't gotten to where I have hoped that I've gotten to, because that's just my entire life. I feel like I've never truly meeting the mark of what God wants for me. I'm always, almost always running away. And the first point that I want to make is don't run away. I know it's simple. I know it's basic. I know it's the moral of the story because we see Jonah running away. But we all run away. And it might not be that you've heard from the Lord and you're actually physically running away, because that's not how it's worked out in my life. For me, running away has looked like avoiding. It's looked like delaying. It's looked like ignoring. It's looked many other ways that haven't looked like running away, but they've been running away. And I've just labeled it something that sounds so much more holy. Oh, maybe that's not the right time for me to do that quite yet, but maybe in the future I will. It's running away. Maybe, Mommy, maybe it looks a little different. Sometimes we even step into something that looks righteous that's not the righteous thing that God wants us to do, and that's also running away. Maybe God's asking us to serve on kids' ministry. And then we're like, well, you know what? I'm going to serve people on the door because I just love waving to people, and isn't that beautiful and isn't that lovely? And it's a righteous thing to do. It needs to happen. People need to be welcomed. People need to be loved. But if God's asking you to serve in kids' ministry, it's disobedience and it's running away. But we want to paint it up as being something so righteous. But you guys have never done that in this church. Never. That's just my unholy church back in Toronto that does things like that. So why do we run away though? For me, I am married to an amazing man. My hunk of spunk, like I said before. Love him, adore him. This is a man who will run and jump into anything, and he's good at it. So there was this one time that someone was like, "Hey, have you ever tried wakeboarding before?" And he's like, "Nah, I'll give it a go." So he gets into like Gold Coast canal waters, which if anybody knows, that's like filled with bull sharks. I've heard yours are filled with bull sharks as well. He's like, "Yeah, whatever, let's go." Gets behind a jet ski, wakeboards for the first time that the jet ski pulls him up, he stands up and wakeboards. Like, this man just can do things the first time. They offer me to do it. Oh yeah, see, there you go, see. Pray for me because that's what I'm married to. Because for me, they offered for me to go wakeboarding. I'll tell you two things that happened in my mind. Number one, I thought of every possible thing that could go wrong. Everything. I could get my leg bitten off by a bull shark. Okay? That was number one, really. That was enough to make me not do it. But I could have told you everything. If Sam asked me, he'd be like, "Oh, what's the worst that can happen?" I'm like, these 20 things are the worst thing that could happen. But then the second thing that went through my mind, if that was not enough for me to not do it in the first place, the second thing was, I'm not going to be able to do that. I don't think I'm going to be able to get up behind that wakeboard and even do that. So why even try? And for me, that's played out in church planting. I ran away from the call of God with church planting. And I'm saying that I have ran away in times past and I'm not now. But the truth is I still do in so many little ways every single day. So I'm not saying this to say, oh, look at me, I've perfected this by any means. But with church planting, I definitely ran away. I grew up with parents that church planted and it was a horrible scenario and I said I was never going to do it. Then I found myself in ministry married to somebody who wanted to plant a church. And I remember this moment because I was avoiding it for so long. I kept saying, well, maybe there's other things. We were flying to a conference in New York and our layover happened to be in Toronto. And I was sitting in the airport in Toronto. Sam tells this story that he was like on his phone playing Snake or something because we're so old that it was a very long time ago. But I remember sitting there in the airport and I could not shake the presence of God. I just felt this crazy anointing, this crazy, and I wasn't asking for it. I wasn't praying. I was just sitting there on an uncomfortable seat, waiting at the gate with, you know, everybody stretching around me, doing like the weird things that people do before they get on planes. You know, people do the weirdest things that they wouldn't do at any other time. Anyway, so they're in front of me doing all that. And the presence of God, I just couldn't shake it. I started weeping. And I remember turning to Sam and saying, there's something about this place. I don't know what it is, but there's something about this place. And I knew in that moment that that was that Jonah moment. I knew that he was asking me to plant a church in Toronto. And my brain went, absolutely not. And I ran. But I ran into things that seemed holy. At the time, we were youth and young adult pastors. So I ran into, well, maybe we're just supposed to take over this church one day. Maybe we're just supposed to keep doing ministry here. And isn't that a beautiful, righteous thing to do? Take over a church from somebody one day? I avoided it. I thought of everything that could go wrong, like that wakeboarding incident. I could have told you everything that could have gone wrong, especially because I had experienced it as a kid. I know the church planting horror stories firsthand. I could tell you everything that would go wrong. But then not only that, I could tell you everything why I shouldn't be the one to do it. Why I was disqualifying myself and avoiding that call. And yet God, he had me. I ran away for a while, but I tell you what, he is so gracious. He is so gracious. And you may be in this room right now and thinking, yeah, there's things that he's spoken to me. There's moments that I've had those encounters with God. And you've run away. Maybe you're doing something, like I said, super righteous. And you're like, maybe this is what God's asking me to do. But you know deep down it's not. You know deep down what he's truly asking you to step out into. And you might be avoiding it because of fear. You might be delaying it. You might be ignoring it. You might be avoiding it because you don't think you have what it takes. We're going to keep reading this story and I'm going to show you just how good God's grace is. The interesting thing about when Jonah gets onto the boat is that he falls asleep below deck. In verse 5, you see, but Jonah had gone below deck where he lay down and fell into a deep sleep. And it was such a crazy storm, as we see, that the captain went to him and was basically screaming, like, how can you sleep? How can you be asleep with what is going on around us? Why is Jonah sleeping in this moment? And I felt God show me that this scenario was me so many times and is so many of us so many times. Why was Jonah running away? He didn't want the fight that Nineveh would have been. Maybe there was other reasons as well. But he was running away to try and find peace. And in this moment, as you're seeing him asleep on the boat, you could be thinking maybe he's found the peace he was looking for. Because there's also this interesting story in Mark where Jesus is asleep in a boat while there's a storm raging around. And so you have these two pictures which look identical from the outside. but they're very different. And I think too often we are seeking, as a generation, we are seeking the peace that Jesus has in that boat in the storm, but we're doing it the Jonah way, and we're actually asleep in the bottom of a boat with a storm raging around us, and there's a different motive. Jesus, he's asleep because he knows he has control over the storm. Jonah is asleep because he has given into the storm. They're two very different scenarios. He's given into the storm, but another thing, he's disconnected from the storm. Jesus was so aware that the storm was there, but he was so aware of the authority that he had from heaven to calm the storm. And I fear that too many of us are running after peace by avoiding what God's asked us to do. And we found ourselves in a Jonah situation where we're asleep in the boat and we're disconnected from the storm that's around us. And we're disconnected from the authority that we have to calm the storm. But not only the authority that we have to calm the storm, but the authority that we are supposed to be the ones to calm the storm. So there is a storm raging in your life. I don't know what it is. It might be small, it might be large. And if you don't even feel like there's a storm raging in your life, can I tell you there's a storm raging in the world? So if you're not battling something right now, the person next to you likely is. And if they're not, trust me, there is a storm raging against this generation. It is raging outside. And I am so done with people thinking that they're Jesus asleep when they're actually Jonah asleep. Okay? We're not going to be those people that chase the peace by running away from what God's asked us to do and being disconnected. But we're going to wake up to the storm that is raging, recognize the authority that we have, and the, I guess, expectation that God has on us to calm it. Do you know that he's actually asked you to be part of the answer? He's called you. No more doubting whether you can actually be the one that solves it. So let's wake up to the storm that's around us. But what we see through all of this, which was the most encouragement for me, because I just see myself so much in Jonah. And I see myself running away at times. I see myself numb at times. Like, I have been there in that Jonah scenario where I am so over everything that is happening that I just fall asleep in the bottom of the boat and I'm ignoring everything that is going on. But what we see is how abundant God's grace is through this story. Which my third point is, God's grace is more abundant than we know. Okay, so we see in verse 11, the sea was getting rougher and rougher. So they asked him, what should we do to make the sea come down for us? And then they throw him in. And then verse 14, please, Lord, do not let us die for taking this man's life, which we said before. So through the whole story, we see Jonah's failings. But what we also see is God's grace is greater. God's grace is greater than any of the failings that we could be relating to here. So the first way that we see God's grace, we see it in three main areas in this story. We see it firstly in the sailors. So verse 16, we saw the result before. At this, the men, the sailors, greatly feared the Lord, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows to him. So what the sailors represent in this is people that don't know God. They don't know. They're calling to their gods. They're trying things. They're like, maybe this is the answer. Maybe that is the answer. That's the people in our world, or maybe even you in this room right now, who's looking for an answer. They're looking for crystals. They're looking at manifesting. They're looking at whatever it is for the answer. They're not necessarily bad people. They're just trying to find an answer. And yet, even in Jonah's failings, God's grace is so abundant that he shows himself to them and they realize that he is the answer and everything changes. Their entire life is transformed in this moment. No longer are they calling to their gods, but they recognize, Lord, this is it. This is the answer. The encouragement in that, even in your failings, God can still move in people's lives. If you've been discouraged because you've made mistakes and you've, you know, stepped out and you've gone, oh, maybe I did that wrong, or maybe this, God's grace is still so much more abundant than we can know. Okay? They throw Jonah overboard, and Jonah could have drowned in that moment. This is actually the second moment that we see how good God's grace is. That we have seen so many times in the Old Testament, so many other stories where God is done with someone and they die in that moment. There is a possibility that this story could have gone another way if God wanted it to go another way, but he wanted it to go this way to show us something. That they throw him overboard and there is a whale or a large fish or whatever it is. Who knows what kind of horrible sea creatures are in the ocean. That's one thing I don't want to talk about. Hate the ocean. I hate the sea creatures. Love you, Jesus. Love that you made them. But yeah, maybe once upon a time when we had full dominion over everything, I would have swam in the ocean more. So this whale comes and swallows him up. Again, doesn't kill him. Could have killed him. And Jonah sits in this whale for 3 days in darkness, confusion. Like, I don't know about you, but if a whale swallowed me up, I would be confused. Would you know? Would you not be confused? If a whale swallowed me, I would be like, am I dead? Where am I? But I was just in this raging sea. Like, it kind of smells a bit funky in here. It's kind of dark. Like, am I in a whale? No, really? Like, could that even be a possibility? But how, honestly, I have been in that place so many times in my life. And sometimes it's actually God's grace. And you might be in that situation right now. You might be in a whale situation where you're like, really, God? Here? You got me in this church? Kidding. You'd never say that in this church. Just trying to get a response from you guys. That's what people say in my church. But you've got me here. You've got me in this job. You've got me in this situation. I don't even hear you, Lord. Where am I? What is going on? What am I supposed to do next? Am I ever even going to get out of this situation? Is this just where I live now? Is this my new normal? Like, this is the confusing state that so many of us live in. But let me repaint it. It's God's grace. That grace state that God provided for him helped him realize what was next. It helped him repent. It helped him reconnect with the Lord. Remember, he was asleep and avoiding everything before. But this moment created an actual connection with God. God's grace is crazy. Whatever situation you're in right now, maybe you're in that stormy situation, maybe you're in a whale situation, and you're like, what the actual heck, Lord? I know that he wants to meet you right in that scenario, that there is an actual answer for that scenario. So we see the sailors that didn't know God and were searching find grace. We see the Christian who was running away, who knew better, find grace. And then we see, because the end of the story is that he goes finally to Nineveh, and we see that the entire nation turns to God. So we see God's grace for the ones that don't know. We see God's grace for the Christian that knows better. And we see God's grace for the people that are downright sinning against God. They know the difference between right and wrong, and they're actively choosing wrong. And yet God's grace is sufficient for them as well. Which is an interesting part of this story, because we actually find out that one of the main reasons that Jonah didn't want to go is because of God's grace, which is very interesting. In verse, Actually, no. Let me find it. Oh, here we go. In Jonah 4, the end of Jonah, it says to why he didn't go. So, but Jonah, this seemed very wrong and he became angry. He was really angry that God's grace was sufficient for these people. He prayed to the Lord, "Isn't this what I said, Lord, when I was still at home? That is what I tried to forestall by fleeing to Tarshish," which is interesting because when we read in the beginning of the scriptures, he's actually saying to tells Jonah to go to tell them what's wrong. He doesn't actually say in that moment in the beginning that he's going to save them. So Jonah knew of God's grace in this moment and suspected of what God was going to do. So this is what I tried to forestall by fleeing to Tarshish. "I knew that you are a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger and abounding in love, a God who relents from sending calamity." Isn't that crazy? That Jonah's revelation of God was grace and relenting from sending calamity. And yet he experienced something very different because he was running away. And yet it didn't change. God's grace is sufficient for whatever you are facing right now. Whatever you're facing. And maybe as I was speaking, you related to those sailors. And maybe somebody brought you tonight and you're like, "I'm just searching. I just need something. I need an answer. I need the solution to life's problems." The answer is Jesus. And he's here tonight. And I'm going to say a prayer with you in a little bit. Maybe you related to Jonah like I do many times, relating to being, you know, "I know better and I know what I should be doing and yet I avoid it and I run away from it." And there's many reasons for that. Mainly it's fear and doubt in myself, but I don't know what your reasons are. It could be something very different. And maybe as I was saying, you related to that. I want to pray for you in a little bit as well. And you may even be one of those people who have outwardly gone against God. His grace is sufficient for you as well. Or maybe you have friends that you see that are acting that way. Pray for them, because we don't know. God's going to move in miraculous ways. And the people that we don't expect are going to be walking through the doors of this church, raising their hands. And let us not be Jonah in that scenario. Let us be thankful. Let us praise. Let us be so excited in that moment rather than, "Ugh, them really, Lord? Your grace is sufficient for them." We're not going to be those people. I'm going to ask everybody to just stand up right now where you are. Can I ask you to just bow your heads, close your eyes? I want to give you the opportunity, if you have never made a decision to follow Jesus, or maybe you have made that decision before in the past and you want to come back and make that decision again today. Today is your day. Right now, in this moment, it is your moment to reconnect with your Father in heaven, to make that decision, "Lord, I'm going to follow you." And maybe, like I said, you're one of those, like a sailor who has never found anything before as the answer. Let me tell you, this is the answer. So nobody's looking around, everybody's heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Can I ask you to be brave and raise your hand if you want to make that decision tonight? I would love to say a prayer with you in the room. If you want to make that decision to follow Jesus, to walk hand in hand with him, have a relationship with him, just raise your hand right now. We can say a prayer together. Beautiful. Well, I'm going to make a moment. I'm going to open up this altar, I think. Maybe let's have the whole band come back up if that's okay. You can look at me for now. And I want to give those two kinds of people an option to lay everything down on this altar, on this space. And those two kinds of people, like I said, it's the sailors. And you may be in this room right now and you have been looking for an answer in so many different places. I want to encourage you to come down the front. But I especially want to pray for all of us Christians in the room. that I don't want you to feel condemnation. I don't want you to feel like, oh my gosh, if I'm coming down the front, then I'm going to be identified as the Jonah person. That's not the case in this, okay? Because I'll be the very first one down the front. And I'm the one that's supposed to have it all together, right? Because I'm the one preaching from stage. So you're in good company. But I want to open up this space because I want to pray for you, especially for the two reasons that stop me from stepping out. So the number one thing being fear, that if you're someone in the room that you hesitate or you avoid or you delay out of fear, there is an anointing here tonight to break that off. And then the second one being doubt in yourself. That if you have, as I'm talking, you're like, yeah, she's not speaking to me because what do I have to give? That is normally what it sounds like. Or it sounds like, yeah, but that picture that God gave me, that doesn't make sense. That's never going to happen. That's way too big for someone like me. I don't know what it looks like for you. But I want to pray for those two people. And I'll tell you what, you're not going to be alone out the front here. So maybe we can sing the Kingdom Come song. Is that okay? Awesome. And you know what? I'm just going to open up this space right now. And I would love to pray with you. I'm going to invite the ministry team to help pray as well. So if that's you, if you have fear in stepping out on what God has called you to, be brave. Step out right now. It is the beginning of the fear breaking off your life. And if you have doubt, come forward and I'm going to pray for you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Holy Spirit, move in this room right now, Lord. Thank you, God. I might get to all of you, I might not, but this moment doesn't need my hands laid on you, okay? This is your moment between you and God in heaven, and the Holy Spirit can break things off in a second, okay? So engage as you're down the front here with your hands out, engage your heart, engage your spirit, and watch how the Holy Spirit meets you right here. Thank you, Lord.
Declare this tonight, your kingdom. Your kingdom.